Let's stand together, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, our creator, here below. Praise Him, above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Good morning, and welcome to our service here at Northgate Baptist Church. As we celebrate and commemorate 50 years as a church, this is the first service in a series of five commemorating the five decades of our church. And we just want to thank the Lord for His faithfulness to us for this time. Just as a note of interest, somewhere in the back reaches of the church, they found the original order of service from the very first service here at Northgate. And today, other than the things we're doing to commemorate the years, it's a duplicate of it. So let's begin by singing hymn number 262. It's hymn number 262. Yes, that's right. You have to look in your hymn books. And just before we sing, I'd like to dismiss the children into the fellowship hall. Being Palm Sunday, they have a special little presentation for us later. So let's sing out hymn number 262.
Holy, holy,
pray. Father in heaven, again we are thankful for the opportunity that we have to come into thy house. Father, we are so thankful for thy goodness to us, for thy faithfulness to us, for thy blessings over the last 50 years that you've given this congregation and this church. Father, we're glad that we can be here today to celebrate together with one another and with thee, and to remember, Father, the good things and the blessings and the love that thou hast given us. Father, we just pray this morning that as we conduct the service, that the Holy Spirit would have his way in the service. Father, I pray for every person, for every home, for every family that's represented. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would have freedom to walk and to work among us. Father, we pray that every song we sing, every word that's spoken would be honoring and pleasing unto thee, and that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up. Father, we ask now that you would bless us, and may we in some way be a blessing unto thee. We commit the service into thy care and trust thee for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Mic isn't working, so our scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalm 48. If you're following along, Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold of them there, and pain as a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts. In the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Hello, my name is Bob Walther. I have the privilege of serving Nemeo Park down Northgate Baptist from 1971 to 72 as a student slash interim pastor. It's a great experience. Meryl and I oftentimes refer to our opportunity that we had of serving there. And Meryl and I want to congratulate you on your 50 years of ministry to the community. We're so blessed to serve at Northgate. It was our first ministry. My first sermons, my first baptism, and everyone was so encouraging. I remember Irwin Lewandowski every Sunday morning would come back and would say, "That was a great sermon." I think he was just kidding that. I'm not sure he was really serious about that, but it sure felt good. And everyone survived. I have a life verse that I probably shared when I was there, Philippians 1:6. For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who's begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm trusting that for my life, and I'm trusting that for the life of Northgate Baptist for the next 50 years. God bless. Have a wonderful celebration.
Good morning. I just want to thank everyone for being here today and everyone that was able to make it to this Palm Sunday. Thank you to Pastor Zig Schuster, who has so graciously accepted our invitation to speak today, and to his family for making the trip as well. We look forward to hearing so many of your memories here at Northgate. Today, we celebrate where it all started. Today, we celebrate the beginning of our story. As the committee planned each service, we wanted to stay true as close as we could to each of the decades. Every song, speaker, and special surprise has been picked because of the specific decade they came from, and today is no exception. Today we celebrate where we came from, and that started a little bit further back than these 50 years. If you were able to read your insert, it shares our beginning roots as a church. And if you look at the back of it, you will notice we chose to duplicate the dedication service of Nomeo Park Baptist back in 1963. It was the first Sunday that everyone gathered under one roof in unison and chose to make this their home church. They came from Central Baptist and Lauderdale Baptist to start a new beginning. Anyone that was in attendance that very Sunday might look around today and notice a big difference, and you would be right. If you were attending that service, you would have been sitting in our fellowship hall. That was our original building, built by some of the very first attending members. There were rows of wooden benches and colored glass on either side that allowed the sun to flood in each Sunday. And you would have entered what is now our back entrance. We started with 109 charter members and have welcomed many more families over the last 50 years. That being said, we owe a lot to the first who've paved the way. I would like to ask that all of our charter members who are currently here to stand. We want to say thank you so much for making this your home church. Thank you for all the prayers, the sweat, and the tears that you put into our beginning so that we could continue to build upon that solid foundation. Thank you for paving the way and inviting us to join you on that journey. I hope that everyone can step back in time with us to see how God's plan for our church unfolds over the last 50 years and to see his story in the making.
In on the recommendation of Dr. Bill Muller. And so wonderful to have you come this morning. We are so blessed. Thank you for returning, and I hope you give us all updates on the family and brag on your grandkids and your granddaughters. Come on up, Zig.
Thank you, Stu, and I wish I could brag on my grandchildren and family because there's nothing I would rather do, but they gave me 15 minutes, okay? And that doesn't allow for a whole lot of extras, but I do want to say, first of all, greetings from the family. I brought my own cheering section along, the three boys, and Grace are sitting right back in here. And Ruth Ann would love to be here, but she's in Kelowna, and it just did not work out logistically for her to be able to join us today as well. When we look back as a family to our time here at Nameo Park Baptist Church, which became Northgate, you see, part of the reason that you don't know is I always have changed churches over the years. And by changing the name, I didn't have to change location. Actually, no, it was we changed the name to Northgate simply because in my visitation in the community, I met a lot of people. And when I would say that I'm Pastor Sig, Pastor Schuster from the Nameo Park Baptist Church, they would say, well, why would we go all the way to Nameo to go to church? And we literally received phone calls in the office saying, when is the next plane leaving? Because they assumed that the name placed us 8 miles north. All right, and so it was actually the young people who had the biggest struggle with Northgate because they thought it sounded too commercial. And I'm very, very grateful that in the meantime they've got back to Northgate, right? They changed the name and after we had changed our name. But anyways, I wanted to say a few of these things before I start speaking, all right? But I am very, very pleased this morning to have this opportunity, feel very honored to do so. And I thought I would look to a scripture text to kind of frame what I want to say, because when we came, literally, we had come sight unseen. And we came into a church that, even though it had existed for more years than the 4 years of since organization, because the old building was actually built in 63, so that precedes by 5 years the celebration that we are doing now of the formation of the church itself. And in those in that short time, I was already the third full-time pastor, okay, after 4 years, which typically means that things did not go that well. The picture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is a little different because here it was about personalities. But there were divisions, and there were problems, and there were internal struggles. This is what Paul writes to them. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. Now, he's writing this to a congregation that is a congregation of New Testament believers who love the Lord, but who were human, and so they struggled with issues. And then he says, are you not acting like mere men? When one says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace of God given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let's pause in a word of prayer. Father God, in these moments which are ours, to reflect back on your faithfulness to this body of believers, which started out many, many years ago as part of the Lauderdale Baptist Church and Mission, and then Miano Sunday School, and the two combining on the Nemeo Park Baptist Church, and then ultimately changing their focus and their commitment and recommitment to the ministry of the gospel under the name Northgate Baptist Church. And for many people in this community, that is what located the church. We're so grateful, Father, that it was not by human effort or brilliance, but it was by your grace that all the things that transpired were able to be accomplished, so that we today can celebrate 50 years since the foundation was laid. And Father, we just pray that you would bless our hearts and warm them strangely as we consider your word and the historical records of what transpired here. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, with your permission, I'm going to change the title of my message this morning from Highlights and Struggles to Struggles and Highlights, because literally we started with struggles and then moved into some victorious things. And so as I think of the fact that, as I indicated, when we came to this church, the church had only existed on paper, at least, organized congregation, the Mayo Park Baptist Church, for 4 years, and yet I became the third full-time pastor in that short period of time. And sometimes what happens when a new church begins, the vision of the person who wanted to start it, and that was really Dr. Hiller, who was the senior pastor of Central, who had this vision of starting a church in this area, and that's why they branched out into Miano School for a Sunday school, and then eventually Lauderdale came in and they amalgamated, and that didn't go without struggles, because you have two different entities, an older existing one and a new visionary group, and so all that has to be kind of worked out. And often when you look at a historical record of a church, the first 5 to 7 years when a church is planted, it can be a slow go before it really grows. It takes time for leadership to blend. It takes time for the vision to develop. It very seldom, unless there's a church that hives off a large number of people at the same time, it's very difficult to actually start out with a bang and keep running. So there's that formation period. Sometimes, just like in your garden, things that are planted don't grow so well, so you have to replant. You have to revision. You have to go back up and say, okay, why are we here? What is it we're trying to do? And by God's grace, I believe that's what God called me to do in Nemea Park Baptist Church at that point. In fact, we've mentioned the fact that we were called sight unseen, literally. Dr. Muller had recommended my name at a time when the church had exhausted a whole list of people. Nobody wanted to come. And it wasn't until after we were here that some of the former members, older members, said to me, you know, if you hadn't said yes, we were ready to pull the plug. We were ready to close down because it just seemed a hopeless situation. And so when Irma Eggert, and there she is, sent us a letter to Pinawa, Manitoba, where I was planting a church at that point, I looked at that, and she asked for some information, which was all in our denominational handbook. And I don't know how you received the letter when I sent it back, but Grace said, you are very sarcastic, because I said, what you're asking me is on page so-and-so in the handbook. She asked me, could I say something about what my strengths and weaknesses were? I said, oh, I'm the wrong person to ask that. Here's a few names of people you can ask how they feel about me, okay? And so I never thought that we would receive a call from this church. In fact, we were on our way to Germany to share revival blessings over there, because that was the beginning of the Canadian revival back in the early 70s. And when the letter finally came, we prayed about it. I talked to Dr. Stuhan, who was then our district secretary for the whole northern district of our conference. And when I said, you know, I have an invitation to go to be pastor at Nemea Park, he says, oh, Sig, don't go there. Okay, and he went strictly by the record of several pastors in short succession, you don't want to go there. I was sort of his prodigy at that point, and so we listened to him, we continued to pray, and I finally had to call him up and say, you know, we are going. Why? Because that's where God is calling us. We had a strong sense of calling. And I remember the first service that was in the other building, on the Labor Day Sunday morning, I stood up. I said, okay, the moment of truth has arrived. This is what I look like. Nobody had seen me except the Lewandowskis, because they had spied us out in Pinawa sort of the last few weeks before I came. And here's my family. And now you're going to find out how I preach, because I'd never candidated. And I would have to say that our ministry started by nothing less than simply the grace of God. It was a mutual step of faith. The church did not know who they were calling, other than they had a name, mind you, by a trusted person, Dr. Willie Muller, who's a good friend of mine, always has been. And it was also a step of faith of our family, because we had never seen this place. We had never seen the parsonage. I had only been in Edmond once in my life before that, and that was for a pastor's conference at the old CTI, and I never got up into this part of the city at that point, so I had no idea what we were coming to. In fact, let me tell you, when we first entered from the east along the Yellowhead Trail, and when we came within view of what we called Refinery Row, I literally pulled the station wagon over, and I said to the boys, take your caps off, we're going to pray. We stopped, and we prayed, and we committed ourselves to the Lord, to the city, to the church. And then I said to the kids, you know what? It's cost these people a lot of money to bring us here, so we will enjoy it. I don't think they've ever forgotten that. But not only was it by the grace of God and through major steps of faith on the part of the congregation and our family, when we came together, there were some wonderful experiences that overshadowed the initial growing pains which were there. Because here's what happened. We arrived, our truck had preceded us, the moving truck. And so some of the men of the church were kind enough to unpack some of the things. And, it took us forever to find where those things were placed. And some things were in the strangest places, like a rolled up rug in a drawer in the kitchen. I wouldn't be looking for that. Among other things, we could not find any of our baking utensils. And September 7th is Daniel's birthday. Well, that was a week after we had arrived here. And so we had already consoled him that when we find the baking tins, we will have a cake and we will have a birthday, but it won't happen on the 7th. And because, you know, back then, it would never have occurred to us to go and to buy a cake at Safeway or someplace. We just had never done that. That day, in the afternoon, Grandpa and Grandma Schubert, Max and Bertha, Senior, came to our house to welcome the new pastor and his family, and she brought along a beautiful, freshly baked cake. And we said, well, this is so wonderful. Why don't you stay until the kids are home from school, then we'll have coffee and cake and celebrate Daniel's birthday. And it was such a hit that after that, Grandma Schubert never missed another birthday in our family. We always got a cake, we always celebrated together, and we adopted Grandpa and Grandma as grandparents for our children while we were in this church. And interesting enough, years later, the kids, every time when they were married and they had their firstborn, they had to trundle off to Edmonton to show Grandpa and Grandma their baby. It was a family kind of situation. But during about the same time, actually the first day after we had arrived, I still remember sitting in the parsonage, the doorbell went, we're still trying to find where things are in the house, and Art Browatsky, who was then the chairman of the deacon's board, came. He loved his coffee. If you knew Art, you know that. And we made some coffee, we sat on packing boxes, and he said the strangest thing. I'd never experienced that before. He said to me, Pastor Sig, before you resign, please talk to me. Yesterday, I preached my first sermon. I'm not about to resign. But that just gives you an indication of the mindset of the congregation. They still couldn't believe that they actually had found a pastor, a live body who was willing to fill the pulpit. All right, very quickly. Beyond that, the people responded well to my preaching of forgiveness and reconciliation. I had just come through the revival experience personally, and that message resonated well. And so there, a lot of the internal issues were worked out. And as was already mentioned, we ended up changing the name of the church to Northgate simply because in my visitation in the community, I found so many people wondering who we were and where we were. I tried to follow up all the inactive members of the church. Because when the church, when Central had transferred a number of people who lived in the North End, their bodies did not necessarily come with the name on the list. And so many of those people never ever did show up or never ever wanted to be part of the church. We discovered very quickly we had many more people on record than we had in the service. But Grace and I, wanting to know and get to know the people better, literally would sit there night after night and go through the membership list and try to describe to each other what those people looked like and where they sat in the church so that we would just simply get a real sense of who they were. We participated as a church in Key 73, which was a massive citywide outreach into the community. Many of our people were trained in discipleship and in sharing their faith. A number of new people came to faith in Christ. We had the privilege of baptizing a number of these people, and they joined our congregation. And so in the first 5 years of our ministry, by God's grace, not because we were so brilliant or because we did things right, but by God's grace, we experienced a 20% annual growth rate. That's amazing. Now, when you start with very little, it's not hard to get a good growth rate, but God blessed. And this is what Paul was concerned about. It's not about who is in charge. It's not so much about who is the leader. It's God's people following God's ministry, God's way, and God will bless. And so our numerical growth began to bring some additional challenges because now we needed more space to accommodate the ministry. So by spring 77, as was mentioned, we experimented with two morning services plus the evening service and all the other activities. We actually had to purchase a double-wide classroom, portable classroom, and put it on the parking lot to accommodate our growing youth department. We had, at that point, 45 junior highs that were being team taught by a group of about five people who worked together. They would meet on Monday night for supper and then go over the lesson and assign who is doing what. And on Sunday morning. Later on, that portable also became my office when we cut away the old office so that we could put this building here. And, you know, despite all of that, there were still some growing pains, now because of growth, not because of lack of it. And in fact, we started seriously studying church growth principles. What does it mean to have a sustaining church? What does it mean to have a Great Commission healthy church that reaches out into the community, that's not just ingrown? We ended up having to add some associate pastors. First, we had Jim Higgs for about a year, and then later on, Reverend Bert Harsh joined. We also had some ministry students from the NABC. As I remember, we had Lawrence Kittlitz and Greg Donaldson and Al Mertes, and I think about that succession. They helped with the youth ministry. It also meant I had more responsibility because I was supposed to supervise these people and train them. So that was in addition to what I was already doing. And there was that one evening when I came very close to resigning. We had a business meeting, and we had experimented with different ways of delivering the morning service. So we had an early 9 o'clock service, 10 o'clock Sunday school, 11 o'clock service. That didn't work so well. Then we tried to have it simultaneously, and some were upstairs, some were downstairs. The people upstairs went down over the platform downstairs. The others came up this way. So people were in the same building for 2 hours, but didn't see their friends. And people got very nervous about all this experimenting. A very good friend of mine stood up and made a motion, a dual motion. I move that we discontinue the dual services and as soon as possible build a new facility. I spoke against the motion because it meant we're going to quit growing. We were way past the 80% easy seating capacity in one service, and it simply meant we would stop growth. I came home that evening and I said to Grace, if there's a church in Timbuktu that's looking for a pastor, I'm available. I had a long talk with the Lord, several talks over the next week or so, and God made it very clear he did not release me. So we worked through the system and through the problems, and by God's grace, we're able to build this facility, and after all, it is his church, not ours. And he says, he who plants and he who waters, they both have the same purpose. It's the growth of the kingdom. And it's by the grace of God that I was able to lay the foundation, a new foundation for a growing church into the future. And so by God's grace, on Operation Andrew Sunday, in preparation for the Billy Graham Crusade, we had the dedication of this building. But we started in the other building with a service because for many families, that's where they got married, that's where they had buried their loved one from, that's where they had made significant decisions. And so we started there, and then we blessed that place and dedicated it for fellowship, for the future aspect of ministry, and then we proceeded over here in procession. I preached the Operation Andrew sermon, which was not original with me. It came from the Billy Graham Foundation, but it was in preparation of the crusade. That morning, 10 people responded to the invitation. Tears in many people's eyes. There were some people who had been trained for counselors, and I wanted them to come forward. Pastor, I couldn't go because I couldn't even read the Bible. My tears were running so hard. It was a highly emotional morning. And then that afternoon, we actually had the dedication of our building. Why am I saying all of that? Simply to recognize that it's all about obedience. Obedience to the call, obedience and faithfulness, even when things are difficult. I start out by saying, you know, if you look at the the kind of church growth pattern, usually it starts out slow, then there's a rapid rise and growth. Then there comes a time of leveling off, which usually comes around 25, 30 years of existence. And unless there's a new vision at that point, it usually declines. And by the time you get down to the 50th anniversary, the church could actually be in decline, seriously in decline. Look across North America. That has happened again and again and again, because the initial vision has run its course. But at any one of those points, there's a new opportunity to say, now that we have celebrated this, and I hope you folk will do that, after you go through these 5 celebration services, that you will go look back and say, okay, now that we are here and this is what we have, this is what God has entrusted us, what do we need to do for the next 50 years so that you take off again? And now with much, much better basis than we had back 50 years ago. And it's 37 years ago that our family left this church. And it's always been, we went to Manitoba, Saskatchewan, because I was called to be the area minister there. If I had gone to another church, I'm not sure some people in this church would have forgiven me. But we left part of our heart here at Northgate. And I just, before I close here, I want to know how many of you people came to this church during that first decade of ministry that we shared together. Can I just see your hands? Yeah. Wonderful. And bless you for still being here. And those of you who came after, bless you for joining this group. And it is my hope and my prayer that God will continue to place his blessing upon you. Again, the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. And then he goes on to say, by the grace God has given me, I laid the foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. With thoughtfulness, with an eye single to God's glory, with a heart for God and for the community. And when that is there, the church will continue to reach out by faith and bring people to faith. May the Lord continue to bless you to that end. Let me pray. Father God, it is difficult to put into words all the feelings and all the thoughts that we have in our hearts today. We just want to thank and praise you for your faithfulness, for your goodness, for your love, for your mercy upon this congregation over these last 50 plus years. And Father, thank you that even back when things seemed difficult and almost impossible, that there were those who were faithful men and women who trusted you, who were not ready to give up when others would have said, you tried and you failed, just go back to the drawing board. And yet, Father, you have honored that faith. We want to honor this morning those who've gone before us, who are now in glory, and someday we will join them But Father, we trust that they are smiling upon us today because their labor in the Lord was also rewarded. And so, Father, bless us and continue to make us a blessing as we seek to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Sig. Thank you for coming today. And on behalf of the congregation here at Northgate, I'd just like to extend a big thank you to you and your family for all the things that you've meant to so many people in this church. As I said, we've been here, it's getting close to 40 years now. And Elaine and I were newly married, and we didn't know anyone in this church. We had been out church hunting, looking for a church, and we came to this church. And I think the first person that greeted us when we came in the door was Elsie Lewandowski. And she gave us such a warm greeting. And not long after, it was maybe the second, third Sunday that we attended, I enjoyed the preaching, and you and Grace invited us to your house for dinner. And you were so gracious to us and so open to us as a young couple that we appreciated that much, so much. And until then, we had never tasted red cabbage. And I must say, Grace, thank you for the recipe. We still enjoy it to this day. And I've heard a lot of preachers over the years, and I have to tell you truthfully from the bottom of my heart, you're one of my favorites. For closing... We love you too, Donnie. For a closing hymn today, we're going to do hymn number 280, I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord. Let's stand together.
I love thy kingdom, Lord, the house of thine abode, the church of
Father in heaven, again, we just want to thank thee for thy many blessings, for thy goodness to us over all these years. Father, we thank thee for the service this morning, the blessing it's been. We're thankful, Lord, for the people that we're able to attend today. Father, I pray as we go from this place now that thou would bless us. Father, I pray that thou would stir our hearts anew. Fill us afresh, Lord, with a fresh anointing, a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that as we go, we may know that it's been good for us to be here this morning. Father, I ask that thou would give thy angels charge over us, that as we go our separate ways, that they would watch over us and protect us. Father, dismiss us now with thy blessing, and we pray, Lord, that thou would just lead us by the Holy Spirit. Lead us and guide us. And Father, I pray that we may go forward in the power of the indwelling risen Christ. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. And just before we leave, we're going to sing one verse of Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, hymn number 286. First verse.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is unto that above.
The Bible says, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out.